At the end of the day, with me, Ronnie Barber, on the line, Chris Pringle, who I saw yesterday, and we'll talk about my visit yesterday, Chris, later in the podcast. But I see video replay technology has been looked at again for the future. This is just the same old thing again, isn't it? You know, we're going to turn a 90-minute game into 2.5 hours.
Yeah, and I think that's all right with sports where the game itself lends itself to that. You know, you look at sort of American football, which is perhaps the classic one. It's stop-start anyway, so there's natural opportunities to look at stuff. Even cricket to a degree, you know, you bowl a ball, there's a chance to have a look at it before you bowl the next ball. But, you know, even that particular system's got its issues. So for me, and I know it probably is, it seems to be Sepp Blatter driving this. He wants to look at it at FIFA level. For me, it's just going to change the game, and it's not something that's needed. You sort of take the rub and the rough and smooth of refereeing decisions, and you live with it, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yeah, because the managers, when you hear managers talking about it, they're kind of you know, philosophical about it. Well, yeah, you get some decisions one day, and next day you don't get any. You know, and so they live it. But the thing is, Chris, and we've talked about in this podcast the difference between the Premiership and the grassroots. This kind of technology, for me, will drive that wider. It'll be a bigger gulf between the Premier, because that doesn't happen at local Kershaw League level, does it? So,
yeah, and at the minute you've got that sort of with the, you know, with the spray marking it 10 yards out. Yeah. So that's already an example of where the professional game, the grassroots game, are sort of diverging. I don't think we want to see any more of it. Even at the pro level, I think if we had it, there would be people that would find fault with it. It didn't work for them. You know, it was unfair, even though the, you know, the essence of it is to try and, you know, get the right decisions. So for me, it's a step too far. We don't need it.
Do you think, if Blatter's behind it, I didn't know that, Chris, but if Blatter's behind it, then it's more or less a given that it'll happen.
I think it's probably likely that some sort of test will happen. The way UEFA tend to work and FIFA tend to work is that there'll be a pilot, there'll be some sort of test somewhere. So it probably will appear maybe, I don't know, in a Europa League level or something like that, and they'll give it a go, a bit like the, you know, the additional assistance behind the goal, you know, when that was piloted. So I don't know, if people at the top are going to drive it, maybe it'll get looked at, but for me, it really, you know, we don't need it at the professional end of the game, and certainly we'd never see it at our level.
Yeah, because I was commenting to somebody last week about rugby has slowed down, you know, rugby union in particular has slowed down a lot, because referees are not really using their discretion. They're going straight to the replay in many cases, and you know, so if a team's got momentum and playing well, it stops. And I mean, it's to the defending side's you know, it helps them regroup, you know, so there is a bit of that going on as well.
Yeah, but I do think with rugby union that it tends to be a stop-start game anyway. You know, there's a lot of, you know, set pieces for scrums, lineouts, all the rest of it. Obviously, they only go to the TMO during one of those breaks. It's when it goes on for, you know, 3 and 4 minutes when they're having a look from every different angle. I think the key to the rugby one is the question that the match official asks the TMO. You know, is there any reason why I shouldn't award a try? You know, that's kind of like, I'm telling you what to look for. I'm giving a try unless you tell me otherwise. I think in that particular sport, it works fine in that example. But, you know, I just can't see comparables in football. Just don't see it at all. Cricket is another one. People complain about the system. You know, India won't use it at test match level. Don't think the system's right. So, I don't know. Let's go with the human being on the pitch. They'll get some right, they'll get some wrong. But, you know, that's part of the game.
Chris, it looks like Chelsea are going to win the Premier League. So I see this week as well, I think it was their under-18s were playing Man City in a cup final. And there was a stat came out as a result of that. The two teams were terrific. But 40% of the academy players that come through in these the Premier Leagues, only 40% of them got a chance of making the first team squad. That's not really a great percentage, is it?
No, and that's 1%. Who's to say 40%, you know, will get somewhere near the first team squad? then what's the percentage that will actually go on to the pitch and play for the first team and go and play regularly? I mean, Chelsea are a classic one, really. When I think sort of the player of the season in the Championship, a lad called Patrick Bamford playing in Middlesbrough, and he's been on loan at two or three clubs, is a Chelsea player. Never had the chance, as far as I'm aware, of getting particularly close to the first team. But, you know, an outstanding talent, I suppose I would say this, Ronnie, is a product of the Nottingham Forest Academy.
Yes, of course, but
that's something different. but, you know, it is an issue. I mean, UEFA have got a rule now, and any clubs in Europe, European competitions, need to have 8 out of their first team squad of 25 training, you know, with the first team, you know, sort of homegrown players, that is. So they're trying to point, you know, the direction of traffic to make it more likely that some of these young players can be in and around the first team squad, but still there's nothing to compel clubs to actually then bring those players through and stay with them and get them embedded into the first team. That for me is the next bit, and it's the bit that's missing. But I suppose it's a step in the right direction.
I suppose if you are kind of being open-hearted about it and saying, well, look, if the Premier League clubs and the clubs can afford academies and things like that, they're allowing the players to kind of filter down, so they're helping to maintain a standard in the lower leagues. Is that a good argument?
Well, I guess, yeah. I mean, players have been developed in maybe areas in the big clubs who've got big resources for their academies. Interestingly, the financial fair play stuff that UEFA's brought in, any money expenditure that's made on academies, youth player development and infrastructure aren't included in the financial fair play stuff. So essentially, that's why Man City are investing huge amounts of money on player development and training centres and all the rest of it. So I guess it's only natural they're going to hoard young players and then farm them out to lower leagues for experience. But still, you learn the game by playing the game at the right level. So, you know, I think if you've got that potential to be a Championship player, you've got to be playing Championship games, and the same for the Prem League, and then some will kick on. So, for me, you know, this is happening now. The hoarding of players at clubs. FIFA in UEFA have tried to stop it with the, you know, trying to put in that quota of young players with first team squads, but it's not working at the minute, and we're not seeing the young talent coming through. And your stat at the start kind of proves that, really, despite the fact that the raw talent is definitely there and they are sort of there in their academy. So there's a gap somewhere. I think it's impatience. I just don't think people are ready to invest the time. They've invested the money, but invest the time in these individuals over a 3 or 4 year period to get them ready.
For you to ask that question, I think you're either being very, very silly or you're being absolutely stupid. One of the two. Because for you to ask that question, I'm sorry, son, but you are daft.
And Chris, I've got to thank you very much for letting me have a look at your portal yesterday.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, you got a little sort of look into the FA portal. So, new online system. We've been using the other side of it, the sort of the internal management side of it for a little while, getting it ready. But now sort of clubs are already using it for discipline. So they can log in, look at their cautions, pay them online, manage it, save themselves time, avoid sort of extra fines by not dealing with things, you know, in the right sort of time frame. So really good development and quite a simple looking system, just a simple website. So that's great already. Ronnie, we've got about a quarter of our clubs, you know, within the last week, so yeah, sign us up for the online bit. So we know people want it. We know people want to save time and do less of the admin stuff. So, you know, it's just trying to meet that demand, really. And then when we affiliate clubs again for next season in the next few weeks, they'll be able to do all that online as well. So yeah, real nice development for us. About time too.
Is this Greg Dyke's influence then?
No, I don't think you can claim credit for this one. It's been sort of in the offing for a couple of years, probably before Greg Dyke arrived at the FA. So it's just been a case of, it's a complex system that we run in football, because really what we're trying to do is have something that looks after discipline, looks after affiliation, looks after player registrations, builds in the finance. So it's just taken a bit longer than we'd all like, really, to get that sort of multifunctional system up and running. But it's here, and clubs are using it, so that's great news. Yeah. What did you think of it?
I liked it. I just remember when I was doing club secretary stuff, the paperwork involved the discipline stuff and all that kind of thing, and getting paid fines. It, you know, and if you didn't pay up by a certain time, at least now people have got a one-stop really, literally just going. Another thing, you know, is I've met you guys over the last year. You want to help, and anything that helps definitely. Clubs deal with that side so they can just get in on with the game of football, it's got to be a good thing, hasn't it?
And it's that's the message we want to get over. And sometimes we think, well, we like the system, we think it does this and this, but the most important thing is what people think of it. So we're picking up feedback, and we had a really nice email from a secretary yesterday saying how it, you know, fantastic development, totally transforms their role, saves them a load of time. So we thought, fantastic, nice of that person just to tell us what they thought of it in that positive way. So all good stuff. We'll keep developing in other areas as well.
All right. On a sadder note, it's the last game of the season for Nottingham Forest on Saturday, and you're at home to Cardiff.
Indeed.
You have turned the season around, to be fair. Dougie Freeman has done a bit of good for you, hasn't he?
Yeah, season of probably four quarters as opposed to two halves in many ways. Got out the blocks really well, then sort of a bit of a slide, then the slump, then the recovery, and then sort of piece it out to the end. That's probably 5/5. So there you go. So we've got to dust ourselves down. Nothing to spend over the summer because of financial fair play. So a little bit of wheeling and dealing on loans and see if we can get in with a bit of potential younger players, etc. Not allowed to spend much money because of the rules and regs. But, you know, look at Ipswich. You know, they're hopefully for them going to get in the playoffs. And still sort of, you know, spent $100,000 or something. So, you know, Forest should still have enough of a squad to be able to add to it fairly cheaply and be competitive. Most of all, be consistent.
Cardiff have had a great away season record. So I'm going to give you a 3-1. On Saturday.
Yeah, I'll take that. Must got to finish the season on a high. Been hovering in the late 50s points tally for quite some time. So let's get a win and get off the pitch and regroup for next season. But no, it's been an interesting season. Really sad that it didn't work out for Stuart Pearce. But, you know, I think the fans are optimistic that they've got a really good manager now in Dougie Freedman. Hopefully we can be sort of where the Ipswiches are this time next year.
Back of the net.